Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here.
Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What's going on, all you Brooklyn Buddhists? This is Woody Massey, producer of the Jimmy Dale Valley Brooklyn Buddha Podcast, co-hosted by Tim Hamamune. Well, on today's episode, we have Richard Halverson. This was a great interview. Richard has a great sense of humor. He's a guy that's just in a bunch of stuff. If you look at his IMDb page, it's just like a mile long. Had a really good time. He was really blunt about a lot of stuff going on in his life, and it was a really constructive conversation, and you know, it's always really refreshing when somebody lets you in on their personal life and lets you hear a lesson they've learned. It just saves you time. Jimmy's got some dates coming up. Carnival Cruises, killing the game. For future projects that he's going to be involved in, head to jimmydelavalley.com. Y'all have a great evening. Enjoy the show. And forget about it.
Brooklyn Buddha.
So, I'm excited to have this guy. And here's the thing. Everybody knows I love poker, and I've been playing a lot of poker lately and making a lot of final tables, and it's been fun. And when I first started playing cards again, I met this guy, and he had he was drinking. We were hanging out, and I wasn't drinking. I was drinking juice, but he was drinking stuff that, you know, beer, you know, whatever, right? And maybe alcohol beer of some sort. And I would get dropped off to play poker, and then either maybe Tim picks me up, or I never Uber. I'm not an Uber guy. Well, Tim does Uber, so sometimes he picks me up, but I do not pay him. But so
freebie.
Right, yeah. So then this guy says, yeah, I'll give you a ride home, whatever. He's drunk. He probably thinks I'm a girl. He doesn't know. So he takes me home, and we become buddies. He's a great guy. You guys are going to love this guy. This guy's a genuine guy. I call him Pierce Brosnan. And not for
American
his looks.
Of you.
Not for his looks, just because of, you know, his voice. No, he's a very handsome. Girls want him. Tim, you're very attracted to him.
Yeah. Remember, that's why I'm sitting across from him.
Tim met him at the Astro Burger. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we met. And that's a place for transgenders. And that's where Tim hangs out on the weekends.
Yeah.
But anyways, the one I'm talking about is Tim, my famous co-host, Tim Hamamune. Say what's up.
How you doing?
Woody, my producer, is here.
Hello.
The shows are going to go off with a glitch today. Perfect, without a glitch.
Hey.
We got the whole new system running beautifully. I gave Woody some iced coffee. And without further ado, my good friend, actor, poker player, Pierce Brosnan stunt double fucking Richard Halverson.
Hello, Jimmy. Oh, hold on. Lower my voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's one of the first bits of advice I ever got with regard to acting was my mother. And she said, Richard, always mentally lower your voice at least two octaves. So I don't know where she read this, but I try to remember it.
Well, you're doing, that's a funny thing now. You're doing, you started out here as an actor.
Yeah.
And you're doing fucking audiobooks.
I do a lot of audiobooks. In fact, I'm doing another one next month. I won an award this year for an audiobook, actually.
Excellent.
Yes, an earphone
for
award.
For cheesiest accent.
I still haven't received
for
it.
For cheesiest deep voice fucking British accent.
Erotic United Kingdom now.
No, I was very fortunate that an author from my hometown, which is Newcastle, up in the north of England.
The beer.
Where the beer
That's
comes
about all
from,
I know.
The beer is probably the biggest export. I'm working on being the biggest
the second export.
Yeah.
So if you're not those... If there's the Dos Equis, who would you be?
Oh, what do you mean?
There's the Dos Equis guy.
Yes.
Who would Richard Halverson
be? I'd be the Newcastle Brown Ale guy.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it would be better than that. Yeah.
Do they?
Well, they do produce another product called McEwen's Export, which you don't get over here. So maybe I could represent that and then make that.
Represent.
Yeah. Represent McEwen's Export over here. Because it's actually Scottish and Newcastle Breweries is the company that makes it. Let's talk about beer. You were talking about how we met.
Heineken kick.
And how, sorry?
Oh, sorry. I was talking
about beer. Don't do that. Yeah. So if I'm in full swing, if you stop me, you're fucked. Yeah. If we keep going, I could be here till tomorrow. So you were talking about drinking and how we met. And I used to drink drive. And back in England, I didn't drink drive. Well, that's not
drink
true.
And drive. Yeah. We actually put an "and" in the middle of drink. There's a space.
Well, back,
drink drive. He calls it drink drive. That's how drunk he is now. He's like, I drink drive.
Back home in the divided kingdom, we used to call it drink driving or drunk driving.
Drunk.
So, I mean...
I didn't want to bring that
part. Were you one of the good ones? I don't mind talking about it because I like to share my wonderful seeing of the light.
Well, tell
them. Were you one of the good ones? Like, there's good people who can drink and drive.
Good
and
drink drivers?
Yeah.
How do you define that?
I don't know. They're usually assholes and are pretty proud of it. It's I'm a great drinking driver.
Yeah. Right.
Well, here's the thing.
I got a whole
system. So he gets a ticket... And he's not drinking and driving. He actually was good Samaritan, pulled over.
I was drinking and sleeping.
Drinking and sleeping.
Yeah.
And he gets a fucking ticket.
There you go. Well. But it's fair. It was fair. It was a fair cop. I was inebriated in a vehicle. So not 3 miles from home. But the reason I don't mind talking about it, and I'm sure my manager will hate me talking about it, but I think it's important to spread the word that, you know, listen to that. Oh, hang on, that's my drink delivery just coming
in. Yeah, there you go.
Back it into the back.
I think it's important to talk about it.
That's Dan's girlfriend. There you go.
Stopping drinking has completely changed my life, and I wouldn't have stopped drinking if I hadn't got caught for drinking and sleeping. So,
you know, it's funny because I'm not against people that drink or do marijuana. I'm not a fan of the coke or the heroin or anything
that. Yeah, me too.
But that was a thing. When we hung, I said to myself... This guy, he's kind
this
of a drink driver. I don't know if I want to be hanging out with this guy.
Yeah.
This guy could kill me.
It was a slippery slope. I think I began to tell you that back in England, it's very much more frowned on than it is here in LA. There seems to be a kind of acceptance of drink driving here. I mean, in England, you wouldn't get valet parking at a bar, which is insane to me. So you get people turn up at a bar, they... give somebody their car keys, go in and get shit-faced, and then pay the guys to give them their keys back so they can drive home drunk.
You know,
that is insane.
That brings me to a question. Tim does valet.
Right.
If they're drunk, are you ever to tell them, no, I'm not giving you the keys?
I can't hold their keys,
Can't make a choice.
You know, we say that we can... call them a cab, Uber, or we can hold their car there. They can pick it up the next day.
Don't have any enforcement. You're just giving them advice.
Stop them.
Have you done this?
I haven't seen anyone overly inebriated, but you know, usually they'll have someone. It's a wedding, so there's usually someone else kind of getting.
Someone.
You know,
you've never seen somebody.
Three at a time, four at a time, so they'll rotate. But I'm sure there's been worse than I've seen.
So you've never turned the other cheek?
I've never seen someone overly inebriated, but it does happen.
The reason I'm asking is because Tim tells me his stories. Mm. Now, Tim is he's a very good automatic, what is it called, manual? Is that manual? Driver?
Right.
Not a standard.
A stick.
He's not a good standard driver with the shifting,
right.
So if he sees a guy pull in with this, hey buddy, you know, he's like, yeah, you know, and Tim knows it's a standard. Tim's like, he just like runs away. Like Tim runs.
Are you
out
talking
of
about a stick drive? Yeah. Like a stick drive.
He runs out of the picture, and another valet guy's like, what the fuck? Tim just runs
I'll give
Forrest Gump. He's like, I gotta go. I gotta go to the bathroom.
He's an automatic valet, not a stick valet. Okay.
For me,
he's scared of
the
standard.
Do you ever go through people's stuff?
No, I could. I mean, you see money right there all the time.
Oh, here's a question for you. Why do valet drivers always leave one leg hanging out the car?
Oh, I guess...
I see this all the time.
You
know, they sort of drive with a door jar like they're cool. Hey, I haven't got time to put the other foot in the car.
That is funny.
Lazy.
I'm putting on my act. That's funny, Richard. Yeah. That's
they're
funny.
Probably lazy. They don't want to. Yeah, just leave the door. I can see.
Yeah, it's a kind of a street thing.
But it's funny. You know, the worst is when you drop the car off, because it's complimentary. The idea is they give you a tip, and you pull off. And, I mean, these are $100,000 cars. Sometimes 90,000 people got money, and then they'll go. They reached to give you a tip, and then it's just a handshake.
Right.
And there's nothing. You're like, who shakes the valet? Hey, thank good job for bringing my car. You know that.
And there's no hidden note
nothing,
in the hand.
Nothing.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so you doing a lot of odd jobs out here. I mean, you have the look to be a star, but you are not as young as if you came out here at 19-year-old Richard Halvorsen.
I think that makes an advantage.
Do you think it makes
an advantage? I really do, yeah. I mean,
were your looks solid like they are now when you were 19, or were you goofy, not grown into who you are yet?
I was fucking gorgeous. What do you think?
You were gorgeous?
Of course I was, yeah. But I was probably a lot less comfortable in my skin. And I think that's why I started drinking to get my teeth taken.
So I got a new one.
So I started skinning cats.
New skin.
I started dissecting small mammals at an early age, and then worked my way up to children.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, we
as long
have
as
a,
they're orphans.
To joke about serial killers, which, you know, what is the deal? I watch a lot of TV. I mean, that's all I do. I do stand-up comedy, or I fucking watch 23 hours of TV. So, is there like a famous, you might know, Vanessa was just making fun of Woody, my producer.
Right.
The other day, she goes...
He's fair game.
Goes, he's great, but he comes up with the weirdest little nuggets of wisdom, like that me and Tim are like, what the fuck did he just...
Give me an example.
See, I'm the initial internet baby.
When
I was in high school, it was the first time ever where someone said something and you'd just be like, oh, okay. All right, so that's what that is. I just have an abundance of who gives a shit knowledge.
Right, so that's what... So is there any serial killers over there?
No, I moved out here.
My favorite serial killer of all time, the UK.
Is there one in the
UK? Jack the Ripper?
Oh, yeah, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, but that's
he's the first one. He's the first known one.
Yeah.
But is there another, like, we have our...
Oh, yeah, there was Myra Hindley.
Yeah.
That's a guy.
Female.
Mm-hmm.
Myra Hindley. 60s, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think she's still in jail and still alive, about to come out, I think.
Wow.
But look her up, Myra Hindley.
My favorite.
So she was around the same time as the Craigs.
She's on
that
the
kind of
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
So what made you run? Because you had a child there.
Oh, right. Back
little
in
boy.
Okay, so, right, let's look at this. Do you want to hear a posset history of how I came to be where I am?
Sure.
So, I left school at 19. I stayed on an extra year because I got sick of exams, so I had to retake them. And so when I left school, I said, oh, I think I'm definitely going to be an actor, so I'm going to go and audition for drama schools. And then I had a great idea that it would be really wise to take a year out and go and travel around Europe. So I took a year out, traveled around Europe, but in the end it was only 3.5 weeks because I was in love with this girl who was back home. So I
came always back. A fucking girl.
Yeah, and
Myra Hindley.
And I'd mucked her about, and I'd mucked her about once, and she wouldn't come back. But I was obsessed, and that went on for like 2 years of me trying to get her back and it not working and being heartbroken. And so when I came back after this 3.5 weeks that was supposed to be more like 3.5 months traveling around Europe, I thought, oh, right, I've got like the rest of this year. Jimmy's phone's on. I've got the rest of this year, so I'm going to get a job. So I went and worked in the local shoe shop, part-time as a sales assistant selling shoes. And humble beginnings.
Why do good-looking guys always sell shoes?
Yeah, I know.
What's up with that?
Yeah, Al Bundy. Adonis.
That was women's shoes. Did you know?
The fuck?
That was women's shoes. I know. I'm so.
What do you mean?
If you go into any nice
normally
shoe
gay
store,
guys sell shoes.
Right.
Not
well, there's a lot of good-looking gay guys.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Well, what did you just?
I'm
say?
Saying, good why looking? Do good-looking guys good always looking. Sell shoes? What is it? Why is it that you have to be extra handsome? Like, you'll buy a suit from an ugly motherfucker.
Yeah, but there's nothing
you
more
won't
intimate.
Buy a nice
there's
pair.
Nothing
of shoes.
More intimate than touching the foot, is there?
I hate feet.
So you did a full-on, so I guess, how many years of selling shoes?
Oh, well, I was there for like 3 months.
I did it for a few months.
And I fell in love with my supervisor. Well, I fell in lust with my supervisor.
Foot, it won't fit in the... Oh, no, I was fucking annoyed. These fucking girls would come in. I need a 7 when they're really like a 9 or a 10 and you're trying to fucking hammer their foot in.
Right.
So we actually did a pilot. My friend used to own this, Tim, you remember, we went to his wedding in Atlantic City, Glen Castales, Puerto Rican. So he owned this place, and it was called, the nickname was Bobos. It's like an old, like, sneakers that are like, they're Adidas, but they're not, they're Adidas. Like, they're these bootlegs. And we did a pilot where he said he used to do this. Right. I never did this when I sold shoes, but...
Oh, you sold shoes, I didn't know.
Yeah, Tom McCann.
Okay.
You know, if you've ever heard of Tom McCann, Land Rover, you know, those boots were... And the people will come in and they go, like a guy will go, I need an 11 and, or whatever. And I had to... And I'm like, I don't have a 13. Or no, he needs a 13, and all I have is an 11.
So you put them in them and say, oh, they'll give.
No. This was the best thing. So Glenn would go. So we actually did it in the pilot where I'm going, I don't have it. And you hear Glenn go, shoe stretcher.
Yeah.
And he go... And I go, oh, we just got the shoe stretcher. So we're in the back. And you got,
with a broom handle?
We're just banging the shoe. And then my assistant guy, this black guy in the pot, was so funny. I'm going, and then all of a sudden I go, just, he's like, what? I go, just. So he turns on the vacuum. we come out. The guy puts them on. Oh, these are pretty good.
It's like the placebo shoe.
Placebo, right? A placebo shoe. You know what placebo is, right? Yeah. Right? So it's like he took subliminally. Anyways.
Oh, well, we made the most money, actually, from selling insoles. You know what an insole is? So we used to have to sell leather insoles for these shoes. It'll make it so much more comfortable, miss. So you'd sell leather insoles, and then you'd sell rain protective spray. Right. And that was where you made the big bucks, was selling these things. Yeah. Anyway, so I kind of fell in lust with my supervisor, who was, it sounds like she'd be old, but she was like a year older than me. And the manager of the store where I was working part-time said, I think you've got great potential, Richard. I don't know why I'm saying a Yorkshire accent. He was Geordie. You've got great potential, Richard. We're going to send you off to Birmingham for training, management training. So like within 6 months, there I was off to Birmingham. But I was still in love with this girl. So I used to buy a loaf of bread on a Monday and some cheap tins of soup. And I used to eat soup and bread for my lunch and my dinner so that I could save enough money to come back on the train at the weekend to go out with this girl.
Right.
So while all this was happening, I discover 9 months later that we have a child.
Wow.
Which is my son.
Because you were drinking and shoeing.
Feet are very intimate.
It was a shoeing. So, so I now have my lovely son who's 26. Also an actor who lives in London, so yeah.
And you guys had a podcast there.
We did have
a
podcast.
Tell us a little bit about that.
We started a podcast about 8-9 years ago when they were pretty young back in England.
Wow.
And I started because I used to listen to Adam Carolla's podcast.
Sure.
And Frosty, Heidi and Frank, because their radio station where they were went pop. And so they all started
Heidi and
podcasts.
Frank. Wow, I did Heidi and Frank here.
But
I was actually
Frosty, Heidi and Frank then.
Well, yeah. I can't believe that they were all the way out there in the UK.
Yeah, we used to.
They were at the Lovitz Podcast Theater, and I was going to be on the Heidi and Frank. I was going to do my show there.
Yeah,
and I can't believe they were in the UK.
Yeah, well, I listened to them on the internet.
Yeah, Heidi and Frank.
That's the good thing about the podcast.
Who are they the morning show for now? One of the LA stations.
Yeah,
like they're huge now.
Isn't it K Rock?
Yeah, I think they're the K Rock's morning
show.
But
I mean that. Yeah. But so my thing is, I mean, I didn't think that people in the UK would be listening to Heidi and Frank. They're huge.
Well, the
here.
Reason I did it was I used to come out here before I moved here for about 10 years with my ex wife, and we used to come out here on holiday, and I knew the first time
vacation.
Yeah, so this is like. We're talking like...
And a Queen Latifah movie.
We're talking like 15 years ago or so. So I used to come out here every year, sometimes twice a year. I was earning a lot of money. I had like two businesses back in England. And so we used to come out here, and then while I was driving around, I used to listen to the radio, and I caught Heidi and Frank, and I caught the Adam Carolla show. So when I got home, I looked at how I could hear them, and the only way I could hear them was on the internet.
Right.
And then when they stopped working for this radio station, did their podcasts, I started listening to the podcasts, and then I thought, this is easy. People are just sitting talking. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And my son and I were together every weekend, so I said, why don't we just do this? It'll be fun. So we didn't do it that long. I think we did it like 6 or 8 months, and then he went off to university. But it's a nice record of how we were as people then, you know?
You know, I think podcasts are great. You can do what you want. Sometimes, you know, we swear a lot, then sometimes we don't swear. Like some people, but I always put explicit. Like if you go to jimmydelavalley.podomatic.com, and if you're listening to this, you already know how to fucking get there. But anyway,
this one will have an explicit label.
But yeah, you have to put, you know, you got to put the explicit. And sometimes, it's funny, we had some writers on. I'm doing a movie. They attached me to their film. It's a really good film. And it's kind of like Office Space meets another movie, right?
I'm one of the few people I know who doesn't like Office Space.
Well,
you
they
shut your mouth.
It's a terrible movie.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's so funny because they're like, hey, when's the podcast going up? When's the podcast going up? They keep asking me, and then I put it up,
mm-hmm.
and it comes out great. And then you never promote it. They go, oh, our manager doesn't think we should put it up because there's too much swearing. It's not good for image. I'm like, oh, what are you fucking kidding me?
just so that I can promote this, I must stress that I'm completely anti-drink driving. But you know, when you're in that state of,
well, I won't let you drink and drive. No,
well, I haven't had a drink for,
but someone hands 50, you playing poker.
57 weeks. So over a year. And if it hadn't been for getting stopped, you know, drinking and sleeping, I wouldn't have done that. That was the kick up the arse I needed, and I feel very fortunate that I got stopped.
So wait, where were you? You were parked.
I was 3 miles from home.
You cannot pull over and sleep in your car
with the keys.
With the keys.
With the radio blaring.
Did you start driving?
No.
No.
You're sleeping.
No, he didn't drive at all.
I was 3 miles from home.
So you were in a parking lot.
No, no, I was on the street.
But you had to...
I pulled over.
You were in a legal parking space.
I was, but apparently a neighbor or somebody in the residential area had called the police, concerned that this guy was asleep in his car.
This handsome homeless guy sleeping in
there. So that was that. But so it took me another 3 months after that I didn't drink and drive after that, obviously. I couldn't drive. But it took me 3 months after that until I stopped drinking and I started going to the AA meetings on a daily basis.
Are you still there?
No, I haven't been since 60 days. Some people like to go every day. I found after 60 days that I didn't feel I needed to go anymore.
Yeah.
I have no interest in drinking now.
I went for 2 months, and then I never went again. Yeah. But I wasn't for drinking. It was for masturbation.
Yeah.
But, and then I still masturbate. I socially masturbate.
Right. Don't masturbate in your car. Don't masturbate in your car.
No.
If you pull over and masturbate in your car with the keys in the ignition.
It's a whole different set of problems.
That is not a joke. My wife does not... She thinks just because I masturbate, like I'm a fucking animal. She's
ever masturbated whilst driving?
Yes, I have.
I have too.
Yes.
Have you, Tim?
Absolutely.
Tim, you have, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever masturbated while driving? What, he's like, me on that one,
yeah,
boys.
I've never done the... But give me a few years. I'm still young in the game.
You're new to the LA traffic.
I can imagine. One would get very bored.
The problem... Here's the thing. It's not a joke. I will masturbate after an audition. Not on the way there because...
You're on a lose up year.
No, James Dean always said if you were full, it's better to be full before.
He did say that, apparently.
If you pee, like sometimes I have to pee like a motherfucker. And I'm like, you know what? James Dean would not pee.
No,
I'm not
I wouldn't
pee.
Either. You can use that pee.
Yeah. Whenever I go up on stage, I always use the bathroom afterwards. Because for some reason, you're just more dialed in if you got to pee.
When you dance, when you're a stripper?
When I dance and shake my ass, I like to hold my urine in. For that lucky
as my wife says, your stripper name would be Curly Sue.
Curly Sue.
That's what she calls him. She doesn't remember his name. We go to see him the other day, and she's like, "What is his name?" She goes, "I'm just calling him Curly Sue." Okay. I'm calling him Curly Sue. Remember, what was that movie? It was with Nick Nolte. Curly Sue, the little girl.
Because everyone likes to be compared to Nick Nolte.
Of course. Curly Sue.
Yeah.
You know, that's a story I tell a lot. I've told on the podcast, but it's always a great story to tell. That if you ever see it, it's a movie about Nick Nolte. Uh-huh. This is such a true thing about this business that sucks. He's fucking this girl, and he finds out she's a huge producer.
Right.
And she has the fate of his destiny. And he's up for, like, this movie, I think it's Mr. Deeds or whatever, back in the day.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie?
Mr. Deeds?
No. No.
The Mr. Movie Deeds Goes to Washington? Yeah.
No, no, that's fine. No. The Fish Goes to Washington. Remember that movie? Right? No, so it's a great story for an actor to know if you don't know
it. Which movie is this?
I can't remember the name of the movie, but if you IMDb it, he's with a little girl. And he's
I'll just go on IMDb and put a movie yeah. Jimmy recommends.
So you want our audience to go and Google Nick Nolte and Little Girls.
Yeah, Nick Nolte and Little Girls. See what comes up. See what comes up. Right? Mm-hmm. So, anyways, he and there's a guy who drinks. Anyway.
His DUI mugshot.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. His mugshot.
Oh, I kept the mugshot, by the way.
Do you have a...
She made I it
do
have a the mugshot. T-shirt.
I wanted to post it on Facebook.
I was standing there...
You know what? That's what we're going to use on my podomatic.com, my Brooklyn Buddha podcast. We're going to can we use your mugshot for it?
I'll think about it. But this was a funny moment because when I got to the police station and I had to stand to get my mugshot. Oh, by the way, all the charges got dropped for the DUI by the police.
Nice,
which was nice. But it still was the momentum I needed. But anyway, so I'm standing there getting my mugshot taken. You have to stand on these two sort of footprint things while this woman was there. And she said, "Oh, here's a nice fact for you. These are the exact footprints. And I was the exact photographer that took Lindsay Lohan when she was booked." And so I started to laugh.
It's like a
and
TMZ.
She took a DUI while I was laughing. So yeah. It looks like, "I don't give a fuck, you know, I just got a DUI." But that night in jail was the single most scary moment of my life. But then,
did you get in a fight?
No, I was on my own. It was like it was a Monday night. Fortunately, so there was nobody there. Oh, wow. I think there was one person in one of the rooms.
Are committed on Tuesdays.
Well, they pick most of them up during the weekends. So So I was in there and I was like lying on this bed and they take your belt off and take the laces out your shoes and anything that you could kill yourself with.
What's that called? That fucking jail. What's it called?
Drunk tank?
Yeah,
I guess so.
No, but there's a name.
The Huascal?
County here?
Huascal?
I know. It was in Santa Monica anyway.
Santa Monica.
Yeah, so I'm lying there on the bed and I was kind of cold. I had this little blanket and I think I had a pillow, I can't remember. And I was just lying there, but it was weird. I had massive terror thinking, this is the end of me. What the fuck have I done? I'm insane. And then I got this strange, warm feeling that everything was going to be great now. And that's so strange. And it kind of is, because now I don't drink. It's completely changed my life.
Bubba was over you. That was the warm feeling.
Yeah,
stay right there.
You can hit the bottom.
But it is weird that they have like this molded metal sink and a molded metal toilet that you use in full view of whoever comes by.
Yeah, there's no toilet seat on it.
No.
Right? It's just
and every
like
hour,
you're in fucking Japan.
They have like a barcode on the outside of the door, and every hour somebody has to come past and beep the barcode.
Yeah.
So even if you drift off into a semi-sleep, every hour you're woken up with this beep and you go, oh. And of course you don't know what time it is because they take your phone and everything.
Right.
So I hadn't got a clue when I got let out at whatever it was. I think it was 8 a.m. I think I went in there at 3 a.m. and they let me out at 8 a.m.
You know, I have an actor friend of mine that I don't know what the fuck it is. This guy has to. He has did so much time for fucking DUIs.
Right.
Every year, he does about 3 months in prison.
I don't get
every
people
year,
who keep doing
I go,
it.
I go, what the fuck is wrong? And he lives in Riverside and comes and stays. He'll come to like acting class in Santa Monica. And I'm like, you're fucking all these girls. Just stay. Yeah. He's like, well, I got to get back to Riverside. Boom. And he gets Like, and literally, he'll disappear for 3 months, a year, and you're like, where is he? Like, oh, he's locked up again. You're like, what the?
I mean, because he's driving without a license, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It's
he's going to end up just with a long sentence, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he does. It's kind of weird. It's like
he'll kill someone.
Well, here's the thing. Two. He actually wrote a script in prison.
Right.
By hand. Came out. And he sold, this was a while ago, but he sold the My Name is Earl script. As soon as he came out, it was pretty amazing. Yeah. And it was one of the scripts when Earl was in prison.
Really?
Pretty cool. So, you know, prison is good. That's what
I'm was he like watching the show while in prison?
Yeah, they were. And he looked like Jason Lee when he was in prison. He had this big mustache. So what happened was they started doing the episodes of, you know, that whole season he was in prison.
Yeah.
And he came out within like the middle of it, went right there. His agent did his agent or something, I don't know. It was something like, I think he had like interest for the script, and he gave him the script, and they were like, well, do you have an agent? He's like, so he called like 100 agents and go, hey, I have a deal. Who wants the deal? Who wants the deal? Who wants the contract? Who want? And only one person called them back, and they got the deal.
Hmm.
And he sold the script.
Wow.
My Name is Earl.
Wow, that's crazy.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. But you know, and that's the thing. I mean, of course you did one day. Were you ever in the jail?
Like
in,
a quarter of a day.
No, I didn't drink and drive in England.
Okay.
It was it's no excuse.
Public transportation is a lot better out there.
Well,
right?
It's not really that. It's everything's where I came from in the north of England, everything was pretty much close together, and you would normally just, if you drove, you would drive there, leave the car and get a taxi back. But
is there, so, you know, we were talking, if you said no drinking and driving. I remember Tim asking me, we were in New York, about, like, this girl had liked him, and she was just of the legal age to have sex.
Right.
You know, he couldn't get in trouble. And he said to me, this is many, 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 many years ago. And he goes, what's
this year?
He goes, what's the age? What is the age in England?
Of consent?
Yeah.
32.
18.
Oh. It is 18.
Yeah. Hang on.
I figured.
Let me think. Is it 16? It could even be 16.
That's why
it fluctuates out here. Some states are like 16.
I think it's 16.
16. That's why I'm asking, because I thought it was.
Yeah.
It was,
12 with the parents' consent.
Now, would this be a big deal for you to be an actor in L.A. and to go back and meet the Queen? Would that be, like, an excitement for you?
I've got no interest in meeting the Queen. I've seen the Queen, like passing in a car in my hometown when I was about 9. The royal family to me is just pointless.
I could see you on the show The Royals. I love this show. Have you watched it?
Yeah.
You don't like it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, I got a crush on her. Elizabeth
Hurley. Oh, you do?
I've always had a crush on Elizabeth Hurley.
Get her on the show.
Here's the thing about Elizabeth Hurley. I think she's so fucking hot still. And I'm watching this, and I know what it's like to have a girl best friend.
Right.
Her best friend
God
is
knows
still
we all do.
Hugh Grant. And she's married. But they are inseparable. They never fuck.
What does that tell
they
you?
They get the fuck out of here. They don't fuck anymore. They're best friend. Get to believe.
What do you mean anymore? How do you know they ever did?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. How do you know?
You think, are you saying he was?
I'm not saying anything.
I think he had
for legal reasons.
I think once he went, she's like, oh, I guess he prefers black women.
Yeah. No, lady. I guess, right?
Wasn't it men?
No, black women.
No, that's a transsexual.
That's Eddie Murphy.
No, him too.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant too. They both. Yeah.
No, he had a black hooker.
I'm pretty sure she was a transsexual hooker.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Google.
Yeah, all right, Google. So anyways, look at fucking Richard.
Oh, I can remember one of those first trips when I came over here as a tourist, and I went to the park in Beverly Hills and had my photograph taken outside the men's room in the park, because that's where George Michael got arrested, and I thought it was hilarious.
I know exactly.
What a tourist thing.
Dude, that's right down here. You go down Coldwater Canyon into that, right? I know exactly where it is. George Michael, every time we drive by Robert Downey Jr.'s, the last time he was in that hotel when he was all fucked up.
Right.
That's, I think that's like where you live, by like LAX or Westchester. Isn't that Westchester?
I don't live over there.
I thought you lived in that area.
I live here at Yamashiro above the Magic Castle.
You didn't always. That's not where you always
No, lived. I lived in England.
Oh, you did. You're right. Well, whatever.
No, I lived at Venice for a while.
Okay.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about? It's like by Johnny's Pastrami over there. It's
Johnny's Pastrami.
Suncoast. Yeah, Suncoast. So here's the thing that always pisses me off about the British actors.
Yes.
But you can relate. So, because I'm New York, Tim's New York. We don't know where the fuck Woody is from, right? But here's the thing. You know, Jesus Christ. It's like, and I don't know. Tim, it's got to piss you off. I hate it. I hate it when someone's like, "Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?" You know, they, with you, I would assume they'll do that with you. They're going to try to break out some fucking English accent.
It tends to be women that do that.
Really?
Which is interesting. Yeah, they do. They say, they'll just start speaking like that and go, "Oh, I always do that when I can't help it. When I speak to an English person, it just rubs off on me."
But do they always go, "Oh, I love your accent?" And then yes. Like, they try and compensate with it and go,
It's very strange. I was watching the Keith Richards thing last night. Have you seen that yet? Documentary?
I started.
He has a proper mid-Atlantic accent.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch.
You know, because you Americans don't pronounce T's in words, you change them into D's. So he'll say better for better.
Right.
And he's got that. That's something I'm going to try not to do, is get a mid-Atlantic accent. Like Paul McCartney talks like that all the time.
So here's the thing. My wife always talks about moving back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever want to move back to England?
Never.
Like, you don't want to be on a series. Vinnie Jones is here. I wouldn't have to move back, would I?
I could be there for a period of time while I'm shooting and then come back here.
That's it. You go back and you become a big star there.
I couldn't.
You like it better here.
I love it here. I will never leave Los Angeles. I'm one of the people who come here and doesn't moan about it and doesn't go, "Oh, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for business." I love it here. As I was saying to you, when I first came out here as a tourist, I knew there was something about, I don't know what it was, it was just a guttural feeling that I felt I was at home when I got here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a couple things I like to ask. So we're going to have to wrap this up soon. I've had a good time with you, but what I want to know
is... It's very convincing.
So you came out here. You came out here as an actor. You wanted to do it at 19, but you knocked up the shoe lady. Right? what is your son's name?
Well, he has two names. His real name's Sam, but he's known as Leif. He changed his name when he moved
to
London.
Like Leif Garrett?
Yeah. He moved to London and changed his name.
That's a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
So does he do well with the ladies?
Oh, yes. He's like you. He's a serial monogamist.
Exactly. Right. So you're it's a non-issue. You're a handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a man crush of anything? Like, are you like, "Oh, I like Clive Owen"? It's not a gay.
Oh, you mean who do I admire?
Yeah.
Of the British actors?
It doesn't have to be British.
Hmm.
It could be a black actor.
Well, I do. it's difficult to say who I like. Currently, that's very hard because I kind of jump about between who I like. I wish you'd give me this question before so that I could think about it a bit better. But I mean, I read.
Well, that's why
I read a lot. That's good. I mean, I couldn't say currently, but I read a lot of Hollywood history and actor biographies from the start of Hollywood, and the people that I really admired were like Gable and, you know, all the people you'd expect, really. Brando, obviously.
Okay.
People who, just all the legends you would expect. Currently, I can't even think.
Okay, excellent.
It's a great answer.
Like mine is Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Woody's is Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Mine's Mickey Mouse.
Old Tim's school.
Is,
not the director.
Mickey Mouse. Yeah, now Steve McQueen, the director. That's so funny.
Mickey Mouse.
You gotta have somebody.
Yeah.
Sean Connery. My wife has a crush on Sean Connery.
Yeah, but are you talking current? Like, people who are kind of really big now, or does it not matter?
You know, it can be Cary Grant. I mean, a lot of people, my fucking acting teacher's like, you know, Cary Grant, that's who you got to watch. Mm-hmm. If you sit and watch him, what was I just watching? Oh, man. I was watching an actor the other day that had, oh, my God, who was it? Oh, what did I watch? Holiday. So I watched Roman Holiday. Who's the star of that? That's Audrey Hepburn.
And Cary Grant, isn't it?
Is it Cary Grant?
Roman Holiday.
Woody puts his phone away.
I just figured it out. She was a transsexual. That's what I was looking up this whole time.
We're back to backstories behind. What a great producer.
I can now confirm she had
a
winner.
Look up Roman Holiday right now.
Dustin Hoffman. I've always loved Dustin Hoffman. He was one of the people who I would sit watching my little black and white portable 7-inch TV in my bedroom.
He's a great actor.
Watching these movies and thinking... this guy's incredible.
And what about Roman Holiday?
Yeah, look it up. IMDb. Right? So,
male lead in Roman Holiday.
So, these guys, what I learned from...
Gregory Peck.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. I think this guy is fucking tremendous.
Yeah.
I mean, he could do drama.
Yeah, he was the man.
He could do fucking comedy. Kill a Mockingbird. This guy, so... one of the reasons that a lot of times directors will say that I book the roles or when I'm on the set, they're like, my activity is off the charts. I've always got something going on. And did you take many acting classes?
Growing up, I did all the usual school stuff as you went through school. And that's where I got the bug for it, without a doubt. Actually, I started training in dance at the age of 4. So I was doing ballet and tap dancing up until I was about 12.
So
till I got the shit kicked out of me in my secondary school. People thought that. Certainly my peers at school thought that. I mean, it's just a label you get when you're into dance. But
Do they teach dance now? Because I heard a lot of acting schools...
teach dance?
Yeah, teach dance as part of... I don't know what it is... how it relates, but there's...
well, because it's about movement and about being confident in your being.
Yeah, they were telling me about the different and rhythm. Alexander technique.
Of course, yeah. I trained in that for a while and did some acting training when I moved out here. This is a difficult subject for me. I honestly don't believe that you can teach acting anyway. I really don't. Brando, who's known to be, you know... what they call method actor, if you read books on him and his autobiography, Songs My Mother Taught Me, he actually virtually says that he doesn't believe you can be taught it either. He thinks that Robert Duvall's another one, he doesn't believe it. And although he's a big method actor, supposedly, but he says just stand there, be truthful, listen, and and respond to what you hear in a real manner. And that's really all it is. And I think actor training is very helpful if you're miscast in something and you're suddenly stuck, how the hell am I going to do this role? Then you can call on these little tricks, which they are mainly tricks. But I mean, acting is about sense memory and remembering terrible things that have happened to you and being able to have those at your fingertips and bring them up at any second. Be that joy is as difficult to fake as misery and crying. In fact, in some ways, it's more difficult. You know, so people go, oh, this person in their audition, they burst out crying. And I'm going, well, of course, everyone's fucking gone through misery and pain.
Sure.
It's much more difficult to fake hysterical laughter or, you know, extreme joy, or look into, you know, a woman opposite you and be able to be in that moment where you're in love when you're not really in love. That's much more clever to me than bursting out crying and screaming and having a temper tantrum, smashing things up in a room.
Yet, you know, it's...
that was a long answer.
No, you know, this is great. It's what I want my audience to listen to. So, you work with what? Bryan Cranston the other day on something?
Mm-hmm.
So, how was that? Was he very generous?
Well, I worked with him last year, actually, on a movie that's coming out next month, I think. And, he was lovely. And... yeah, he was very generous. He's full of humor, but at the same time, he manages to... he can do what I'm talking about.
He
can talk to you in a normal manner as a colleague. And then as soon as it goes, he's back in there.
Right.
That's a different thing to the likes of Johnny Depp, who supposedly walks around in character all day. Or, you know, but if that's what they need to do, I'm not putting that down. That's fine.
I mean, I'm going to give a shout out to a guy who, so I just did a movie with, and you know what? People, my fans can say whatever they think, but I think he's great. Mm. I think Jamie Kennedy's a great actor.
Right.
This guy was on set fucking tweeting. We're talking, and he's tweeting, and they're like, fucking, and they're like, action. And he, boom, he's right in the character. I mean, he was playing this fucking really cool character, but he was like normal looking down. I mean, I'm looking at my fucking sides. I mean, I'm trying to make sure everything. And this guy's not even, he's got his note. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
At a moment. And if you ever watched any of that, like, so. Of course, I can do comedy to menacing. I can, do, you know, that's my range. What do you consider yourself, a more dramatic actor, a more comedic actor?
That's very interesting, because I would have thought of myself as a dramatic actor, but the stuff I tend to book tends to be more on the comedy side. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've done a lot of improv since I've been here. I'm with an improv.
Oh, you're with a great improv.
I'm with an improv group called Johnny Law. Yeah, so we perform.
Johnny Law. See,
regularly.
Drink and Drive. That's what pulled you over, Johnny Law. There you go. Yeah. It all comes together.
Make a good scene.
It was actually after a Johnny Law show that happened, but that's interesting. So I want to be pigeonholed and then shock people. That's my
You
aim.
Want to be pigeonholed?
I want people to go, oh, this guy's a, you know, comedy English professor, or, you know, he's a director in this, and blah, 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 playing a director.
It's like sometimes
playing an office manager.
Sometimes you have a beard, now you have this little
mustache,
kind of like porn mustache thing going
exactly.
on.
Sometimes I have an Errol Flynn mustache guy. Right. Errol Flynn's another guy I think is amazing.
If you want to see Errol Flynn's headshot, it is at Bob's Big Boy on Riverside.
I have one of his headshots on my wall.
It's the only place I've ever seen
his headshot. I have one on my wall at home.
Oh, my God.
I have a whole wall in my house that's all just old actors' headshots.
Well, that's awesome.
So, I don't mind being pigeonholed and then come out with a big shock. You know, like you remember Robin Williams when he did One Hour Photo.
Oh, yeah. Great underrated movie.
Hilarious. So I'm watching One Hour Photo. Now, my friend, comedian Jimmy Schubert, has been in a ton of things.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of known from the movie Go. He was awesome as the bouncer. That was kind of his big break, right? And he was on King and Queen. He was just in so many things. He's in One Hour Photo for like a few scenes, and he does a great job.
Hmm.
So my wife always remembers, oh, you were in One Hour Photo. I'm like, that's what you fucking remember it from? Like, but that movie was great. Did you see One Hour Photo, Tim?
Tim, it's actually about you.
Too long.
Yeah. It's a great...
It's too long.
So here's the thing. You're on set. You're working. And has a woman ever pulled you away from your focus on set? Like an actress that you're working with, like, has there been a love interest that you're kind of like, oh man, you know, like
nothing that's come to anything, you know? Actually,
there's no sexual thing, but there's a little heated, like,
oh yeah, I mean, that's conflict. And I you know, I can be flirty like anyone, but I in my experience, actresses are the worst people for an actor to be with.
Yeah,
they tend to be very high maintenance. You're basically in competition.
Both dramatic.
Yeah, you're basically in competition with each other. You know, how's that going to work out? And that's why a lot of the Hollywood marriages don't work out, is, you know, they're kind of narcissistic, and not the women, but the men and the women. All of us.
Sure.
So, you know, there's got to be a winner and a loser. There's always a winner and a loser in most relationships, unless they last. The ones that don't last, it's because there's a winner and a loser. There's someone who likes someone a little more than the other one. You know?
Yeah.
Always.
Well, there's always someone who dates up.
Exactly.
There's never an equal.
Yeah.
And it's sad. But it's true.
There's
always someone who dates up. And that person, depending on the person, will either spend their whole life making up for that.
Yeah.
Or the other person will spend their whole life making that person feel comfortable that doesn't...
Right.
That's not really there, even though it's there.
Well, exactly. I've been watching Ray Donovan. You guys watch Ray Donovan?
Yeah.
So, you got Katie Holmes.
Right.
Who I think is a fucking great actress.
She is.
I really do.
Yeah.
And she's doing what you haven't watched enough of her. Trust me.
All right.
She watch
saw Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. That
she's done a couple of things since then.
Watch Son of No One.
Son of No One.
She plays Channing Tatum's wife. She's fucking.
He's a great actor.
She, I
said
do,
nobody I, ever.
Yeah, well, you know what? Watch Son of No One.
All right,
watch.
Oh
my God, I can't believe it.
Midler would look good as an actress next to Channing Tatum.
Well, anyways, no, Channing Tatum, his first movie after
Step Up.
No, after Step Up. Oh my God, I can't think of it. You guys will love the fucking movie. Let me tell you, the fucking movie's tremendous. It's oh my God, I can't believe it. I have the book.
Not saying he's not a nice guy or anything, but
no, he's actually a great guy. Yeah. And my buddy was the star of Step Up with him, actually.
Ooh.
He's a black actor. I forgot his fucking name, too. We used to have the same. So The Son of No One is great. It's Al Pacino, Channing Tatum.
Pacino.
It's a fucking great movie.
I'll watch anything with Pacino.
My friend Ditto.
Ditto.
If you know the famous Ditto, he's the one who he directed. Ditto is
he's the one who keeps doing the same parts.
Dino Montiel. Dino Montiel.
Ditto.
No, if you guys know the story of Ditto, I'm trying to think of the fucking
story
name.
Of Ditto. The tale of
my
Ditto.
My producer can't look it up. I'm a jerk off. I gotta look it up. That fucking pisses me off.
Motherfucker, I've already looked up Roman Candle.
It doesn't matter. You're
Roman Holiday.
I looked up Trannies with Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck about that?
Oh I don't.
God. I can't
Not
believe.
That there's anything wrong with
so
that.
So anyways, the same guy directed Fighting. Where the fuck is this movie? The Guide to Recognizing Your Saints is a phenomenal movie with Channing Tatum.
The guy
like
to
I said,
what?
Don't knock Channing Tatum. Watch him in these movies.
I'm interested to see what he's going to do in this new Tarantino movie, The Hateful Eight. This will be like his first like hard dialogue movie that I've seen him in.
Well, you know about The Hateful Eight and me, right? So I'm doing a show in
Quentin,
Colorado.
Calls.
No, I'm in. I'm doing a show in Colorado, and I get to my bed and breakfast, which is like a luxurious bed and breakfast. That's where I'm staying.
Do those two things go in a sentence?
Yeah.
Luxury bed and breakfast.
Really, really nice. Okay. Like, fucking, like, state-of-the-art tub, like, but old school, like England.
It extra fluffy pancakes.
No, it was beautiful, right? So, I go, this is really nice. I go, so it's just me. She goes, well, I had Quentin Tarantino here earlier, but I kicked him out because I knew you were coming. And I go, what? She goes, he actually offered me $5,000, but I had you booked. So it's your room. She goes, so he's down at the hotel, blah, blah, blah. And I go, am I staying in his room? And she's like, she goes, you actually are, but I cleaned it. Everything is clean. So I go on.
Blood everywhere.
Yeah. So I go on stage that night and fucking talk about it. And I'm like, I'm fucking naked in the bed, and I'm thinking, Quentin Tarantino jerked off here. I'm jerking off in the same bed. I'm like, Quentin Tarantino jerked off in this tub, so I'm doing everything. That's like my claim to fame with Quentin Tarantino. I'm sure he wouldn't appreciate it because, you know, I mean, and I know so many people that work with him, and it's like, I guess if he loves you, he loves you, but The Hateful Eight was shooting there. That's why he was there.
Oh.
And they were on hold for a good few weeks to a month. They couldn't get the right stuff, so he was still out there doing locations. So anyways, all right, good. So that's it. So, all right, Tim is back. We're going to wrap this up.
Tim is back in the refrigerator.
I got to ask you a couple questions. So your man crush was you didn't have one.
Shit.
What would your name? Because you know, I think you know, of course, Goodfellas and all that stuff are great movies. But the British, my boy Vinnie Jones, does some of the best Lock, Stock, Smoking Barrels, the best mob movies.
Okay,
Guy throw Rich. It there.
So, what would your mafia British name be?
Beau Cleaver.
Oh, that's a good one.
So you've thought of this a lot.
Beau Cleaver.
That's actually my porn name.
Yeah, I was just
gonna, that's a great one too. That's the next
doubles.
Question.
Dude,
yeah.
You just took
that's
my
a crossover yeah. career right Cox there.
Stuff. You just took my punchline. I was going to say, is that your porn name too? Because that's my next question. So Beau Cleaver, what would your porn name be?
Beau Cleaver.
Cleaver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be.
You can't get better than that. Yeah.
I would be the first actor to transition from regular movies to porn movies. That's not the other way
knocking
around.
Heads and
no,
coming on
right.
faces
that's
since right. 1982.
That's funny. So cool. So one last thing that I gotta ask you, is there anything you wanna plug?
No.
You have no Facebook website.
Oh, I'm on Facebook.
Drinkanddrive.com. You can find them in his mugshot.
Richard Halverson. I'm opening a dry bar next month.
An oxygen bar?
Yeah, we're serving virgin margaritas. Two for $5.
Look for his hit, Johnny Law. Yeah, improv group all Johnny over Law LA, improv. Kicking yeah. ass. You were a great friend, came to my comedy special, great guy. You're just a... You're a good guy. I am still here. I want my audience to know what is your favorite swear word?
Please say bullocks.
Well, I've got more than one. The one that gets the best response over here is when you say bloody. Bloody this and bloody that. People go, ooh, that's so English.
Right.
So kind of that, but it's got to be cunt.
So cunt. Now, yes. Cunt is...
That's a popular one.
Cunt is not the same in Europe. It's hairier.
Yeah. But the other thing is cunt here is much stronger. I think. Yeah. In England, especially in London, you're talking about...
Yeah, the cunt smells going, a lot stronger.
Stop being a stupid cunt. Yeah. Right. You know, and it doesn't really mean
Jim
anything.
Jim Jefferies like, has a bit about that. Yeah. He talks about over here, like, you guys have this big deal about
cunt
saying
means you're
cunt.
The devil.
But over here... You guys say motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's so much worse.
It is.
Well, Tim, here's the story of Tim. Tim stole it a couple times, but I'll tell it because it'd take him fucking 20 minutes to tell it. Right? I'll do it in 20 seconds.
And he said enough.
So Tim gets mad at this girl. He always dates. Tim has kind of a girlfriend now, and everything's good. She's Asian. But here's the thing.
She's Asian butt.
So Tim, yeah, she's Asian butt. She's an Asian butt. Because Asians have no asses. She's an Asian butt. And, So Tim has dated many nationalities. And was she Latina?
This is taking longer than mine.
No, shut up. Mine's always better.
Dominican.
Right? So, and he calls her a cunt. Like, he goes, you're a fucking cunt. And she goes, what is that? Right? Wow. So it took his power away from the cunt.
That's perfect. Even and when she probably actually knows. Yeah. And she knows what she's doing.
So she fucking, and he goes,
I don't know why everyone calls
me. Yeah, yeah. Yes. That's my nickname in Latin America, right? And then he goes, well, it's like puta. And then she stabbed him. All right. So anyways, that's our time. Richard Halverson, you've been great. What do you say? Goodbye, Tim.
Adios.
Shaking hands with
thank
so
you so much.
On the podcast.
We're out of here, man. Thank you, brother.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet.
Houston, we have a problem.
They're here. Stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.